Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman. Joining me today is Amanda Harris, owner of ReConnect, a pioneer in medical exercise. Amanda's expertise as an exercise physiologist and medical exercise specialist is reshaping healthcare. Today, Amanda shares her story, blending dedication and innovation, redefining success through ReConnect's transformative approach. Thank you for joining us today, Amanda.
It's my pleasure, Phil. Thanks for having me.
So what does success mean to you?
Well, I think success is being able to use what I believe I was put on this earth to do, to actually serve people, but also be able to make a living for my family at the same time. So ultimately, getting a fulfilling career out of something that has happened to me. So let me explain what I mean by that. When I was a senior in college, I had a pretty bad horse-related accident where I had a horse tied to a barn wall, and this was a prefab barn. So the easiest way to explain it is the wall was all one piece in some sort of a cast iron frame, and it had four sliding doors on the front with cast iron fittings. And this horse panicked and started to run backwards as he was tied to the wall. And ordinarily, when that happens, you probably know this since you work around horses, the leather halter, you know, the thing that you put on the horse's head to hold him would snap, or maybe the fittings on the halter would break and the horse would be free. But that particular day, for whatever reason, the whole wall came down. Now the horse made it out of the barn, and that was okay, but I didn't realize the wall was coming down until it hit me in the back. And when I realized what was happening, I started trying to run from it, but I got pinned underneath the wall. So the wall was covering me from my shoulder blades all the way down. And I thought I was alone, which was the scariest part of it. I remember lying there thinking, oh, this might be it, especially if the horse, who was still in a wild panic, you can imagine, starts running towards me, which, you know, when I really thought about it, they wouldn't do that, right? But anyway, when I was contemplating what was going to happen to me, all of a sudden, these strong arms grab me from underneath my shoulders and pull me free. And what had happened was there was a girl who had just driven up. I probably didn't hear her drive up because of the calamity. She was about my size. So she had one of those superhuman moments where she saw what had happened and she just ran after me and she grabbed me and pulled me free of that wall. And you got to understand, this wall was super heavy. It was like really thick wood and all the cast iron fittings on it. And so when she pulled me free, and I'm not complaining about this, I'm just giving you the facts, it wound up spraining, in many ways tearing, a big ligament that connects my left pelvic bone to my lower back. And that's a really important ligament because it really helps your pelvis and your lower back function properly when you're walking, when you're running, when you're doing pretty much anything normal humans do. Now, I didn't know that that's what had happened at the time. And believe me, I would take that over certain death any day. So I am eternally grateful to her for saving my life. But long story short, when I went to the hospital, because she did drive me to the emergency room, the doctor didn't really know what to do. We were in a really small town, rural, southwestern Virginia hospital. And he looked at me and just said, look, you're lucky that you don't have any broken bones. Like, you should, by all accounts, like looking at the bruising on my back, he said, you should have broken vertebra, you know, like the bones around your spine. And he said, you don't. He said, so I'm just going to send you home with some muscle relaxers and some painkillers. And you just stay on the couch for a couple of weeks. And once you're feeling better, go ahead and return to activity. And I remember looking at him, this was in 1993, it wasn't the dark ages. I remember looking at him and saying, you don't think I need physical therapy? He was like, nah, you're young, you'll bounce. You know, I was probably 20, maybe 21 at that point. And I remember being dumbfounded, but I did exactly what he said because he's a doctor. So I went home, I stayed on the couch for 2 weeks, swallowing, you know, muscle relaxers and painkillers. And then I went back to teaching aerobics twice a day, 5 days a week. It was aerobics back then, by the way. And I was riding my horse, you know, and I was running and doing all the things that I always did because the doctor said it was okay. And it really didn't catch up with me until a couple of years later when I was in graduate school and I was starting to do more vigorous activity. And then I started noticing my back was really hurting. And this really kicked off this journey that I'm happy to dive into more. But it was, you know, they say when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I had enrolled in graduate school to learn exercise physiology. My angle on that was to go into cardiac rehab. But because of this accident and because of the journey that ensued after this accident, when I started realizing that my back was never going to be the same again, and all the wonderful physical therapists and the wonderful physicians that helped me along the way, I started realizing that I could help so many other people that had back pain that was just not getting resolved. And that's kind of what kicked off my career, but also kicked off what is now almost a 30-year crusade against back pain and trying to educate people on how they can resolve their own back pain and get back to doing what they love, but stay pain-free. I mean, you've got to actively pursue that and be consistent with it, but stay pain-free over a lifetime because it can be done. I've done it. Lots of trial and error, lots of really great mentors over the years, and lots of banging my head against the wall and crying when I realized something wasn't working. But I really think that success is taking something that really felt like it was something that I was saddled with, pun intended, maybe. Taking something that I was really saddled with, something that happened to me, and making it into something that could really help lots of other people. It's very fulfilling work to me. So that to me is success.
That's a great story. Yeah, you know, we had a similar situation. My wife blew out her back carrying around our first son. Mm-hmm. And you know, we went to see our doctor, and she was nursing at the time. Mm-hmm. And the doctor prescribed her Motrin 800, Vicodin, and Valium mm-hmm. for her back, right? No yeah. physical therapy, no, this is what you need to do differently, or any support, nothing, just take these drugs. And she said, you know, I'm nursing, right? And he said, oh yeah, how far along is he? I don't know, maybe 6 months or something like that. And he goes, oh, I'm sure he's fine. He'll be good.
Oh man.
Of course, took none of it, you know.
No, she didn't want to give it to your kid.
Yeah, and obviously all the attention that opiates have gotten over the years, why is this still an issue in the healthcare system where they're just treating everything with painkillers and not working on the physiology?
Yeah, I wish I knew the answer to that. I think in part, a lot of Western doctors that are not specialists in the area of back pain just don't know what else to do. Honestly, I think all they know to do is to treat the pain, and they don't necessarily understand how that pain arises. Like, you know, clearly you knew and your wife knew that that pain in her case arose from carrying him around, carrying her son around, which happens all the time. I see so many new mothers that have issues with back pain, not only from late pregnancy, but also into carrying that new baby. And Lordy, carrying those baby carriers. I mean, I remember that was heavy as all get out. And I was, you know, I was a regular weight trainer. And when my daughter was born, I remember picking up that baby carrier with the baby in it. I mean, it's a ton and it's awkward, you know? So it's a wonder all new mothers don't have terrible back pain. But yeah, I wish I could answer that. And I wish there were more doctors that understood how important early physical therapy is to back pain and resolving back pain. But unfortunately, there's still a lot out there that just want to throw painkillers at it, but not all.
Yeah, not absolutely. All. So what kind of challenges do you face when trying to bridge the gap between exercise science and medical treatment, and how do you address them?
Well, that's a really good question. So I get a lot of questions. I'll throw a similar one out, and hopefully this will answer your question, that I get a lot, which is like, what's the difference between you and a physical therapist? And that's probably the easier one for me to answer, because a physical therapist has a medical license and they can actually provide medical treatment. And so, as an exercise physiologist, the only modality, the only real tool that I am able to use is exercise. And exercise for many people means like running and sweating and, you know, lifting really heavy weights. But in my mind, it basically means movement, like organized movement. So that's what I use. And that includes, you know, stretching modalities and different types of exercise. We use a lot of mobility and stability. I don't do a whole lot of strength with people because there are so many people out there that can do strength training. But I'm trying to really bring forward the good work that many people have done with physical therapy and help them transition into a more active lifestyle, whether it's, you know, full contact yard work, or whether it's rejoining some sort of a vigorous sport that they enjoy. And so we do that by literally retraining movement patterns, because really what happens when people hurt their backs is that the nervous system starts to change the way you move by kind of deactivating or unplugging some muscles that allow for freedom of movement, and then reassigning some of your larger muscles to brace and stiffen you to keep you from hurting yourself more. But of course, we humans keep going, and so we wind up hurting ourselves more anyway. And so my work is really meant to carry forward the hopefully good start you got in physical therapy, which a lot of my clients have had really good physical therapy, and then slowly start to bring about better quality of movement, better efficiency of movement, until we can start to create more and more challenging movement, like get into what most people would define as exercise without triggering their back pain. So it's really a transition. What is the challenge for me? I think the challenge for me is helping not just professionals, but the average person understand what that place is, because there is a big gap there. A lot of people aren't aware there's a gap, but many folks have made the mistake, or at least had the experience. Maybe they don't realize it's a mistake yet, but they've had the experience of going through really good physical therapy and feeling better, and then going back to the gym or going back to their chores, which, let's face it, even if it's housework and yard work, that's hard on the human body, and finding that their pain returns, which is incredibly frustrating. But the reason the pain returns is we've got this big gap between where physical therapy leaves off and where your body needs to be in order to tolerate those types of challenges, whether, like I said, it's like chores or whether it's exercise or sport, right? So really trying to help people understand there is a gap there, and I can help them through that gap. That's probably my biggest challenge. And healthcare providers too. Physical therapists, interestingly, have been the fastest to recognize that. So when I speak with really good physical therapists, they, you know, there was one, I remember I did a whole dog and pony show for her clinic when I first moved to Richmond and talked about what I did. And I got through that it wasn't really even a pitch. It was just an explanation of what I do and where my spot is in that continuum of care. And she looked at me and she said, "Oh my God, where have you been for the last 20 years? I have so needed you for my patients." And I was like, "Oh, well, that was really easy." But really good physical therapists recognize that there's a big gap there. And so it's the hardest thing to help the consumer understand, but it's relatively easy to help a PT understand. And sometimes doctors, you know, like we talked about, there are some doctors that are like, "Oh, this makes so much sense." And there are some that are like, "Well, physical therapy should be enough." You know, it's like, okay. So yeah. That's probably the hardest part, is helping folks see the gap and recognize it and then acknowledge that it's there and say, okay, yeah, maybe you could really help.
So. Yeah. Cause there's kind of a delayed thing, right? They go through the physical therapy and then the pain doesn't start. It just slowly starts creeping back up later.
Exactly.
And so,
and it's not for everyone. Like, some people do really well after physical therapy. They might do well for a year or two, and then they create more challenge than their system is prepared for. And so a lot of it has to do with what level of activity they're returning to and how soon. But yes, we see it a lot where, especially with folks who like to strength train at the gym or do vigorous sports, is they want to jump right back in to where they left off. And I always have to remind them, but where you left off was you were injured. So we've got to get you better than you were where you left off. So, yeah.
Especially if it's something in their lifestyle that's causing.
Exactly. Or pain. Perpetuating. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I want to move a little bit into the business side or the entrepreneurship side of things. So how do you maintain a balance between the aspect of Reconnect and the primary focus on improving clients' health outcome.
So when you say the aspect of Reconnect, tell me what you're looking for there. The business of
the
Reconnect?
The business side of it. Yep. So the business aspect of Reconnect. So from the business side of things, running a business. And specifically what I mean about this is a lot of times I've seen where, especially when it's something that people are passionate about, they have difficulty monetizing that.
Yes. Right. No, I totally get you. So let's see if I can answer this succinctly, because this has been a real journey for me. Reconnect turned 10 last year. So I've been in business for a little over 10 years now, and I have learned so much as both a practitioner and an entrepreneur. And I would say that I went through phases as I was growing Reconnect where I would realize that I needed to spend more time thinking about how I could grow revenue because I had hired an employee. And I had a mentor once who was a physician, and he, this is just an aside, but it was funny and it was so true. And he would say, by the way, every time you hire an employee, your business is going to take a nosedive. Like you're going to feel like suddenly the referrals dry up and traffic has gone down and suddenly you're scrambling to feed a second mouth. And oh my gosh, why did you hire this person? But then the minute they quit or you fire them, you're going to see this big influx and you're not going to be able to handle the volume. And he's like, it's just how it is. So just take a deep breath and just know that's what you're in for. This was right after I hired my first employee. And I remember looking at him and saying, well, thanks for the inspiration. but that did actually happen. You know, I think I hired my first employee. We saw a lag. I started sort of not panicking, but going double overtime into, you know, trying to make more networking contacts and seeing how we could fill the benches. And then what I would realize was my level of care would start to drop off a little bit. Like I might drop a ball here or there. I wasn't calling people back soon enough. And I would find myself getting really frustrated. And the North Star has always been take care of the person in front of me, take care of my clients, because that's really why I got into business. So to your point, that side of me would come back and I would be like, oh, I need to just take a deep breath and take care of my people. And the rest is going to take care of itself, because often it really is a rhythm. Our rhythm is sort of different. For years, my husband, whom you know, he's a business coach, would say to me, well, you're going to dry up in January because health clubs go crazy in January. But what happens in January for us is that physical therapy referrals go way down because everybody's deductible started over. So often physical therapy sees a dip, which means we get a dip in referral traffic. So January would be a really hard month. It wasn't this year for whatever reason. I think a lot of that is a lot of the marketing efforts that I've been putting forth. But I've been marketing differently. I've been doing more like with YouTube videos and a little bit of social media. I can't say I'm great with it yet. But the difference, Phil, is that sort of thing fills me up because I feel like I'm still helping people. So I guess the long answer to your short question is I know that my success depends on my taking care of my people. I know I also still have to keep the business healthy with revenue numbers, but the revenue numbers are a direct reflection on my taking care of people. And so as long as that remains my North Star, the rest of it follows. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have to slog through all my accounting and do all of that and stick with budgets. I do all of that. But I try to keep it in the context of my ultimate goal is to get great results for my people. And when I do that, money comes. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. And to expand on what you talked about there, HR and
yes,
keeping and all of those different tasks. How important is ongoing personal development and growth in your entrepreneurship journey?
Well, it's terribly important for me because I identify myself as a lifelong learner. I always have. It's something that I've always prided myself on. When I did work for other people, I was always patted on the back for it. It's like Amanda's always scrounging for the newest, greatest thing. She's trying to figure out how to make herself better, 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 better. And I definitely go through seasons of what I'm learning. So sometimes it's personal development work. Sometimes it's professional development work, like on the practitioner side. This year, I've been learning a whole lot about how to be an online entrepreneur because I'm doing more with my online course. But I think if I'm not constantly learning something new and being stimulated with stretching and pushing my own abilities, then I get quite stale. And it would be very easy to get into a rut. Both with practicing in person and with doing the online thing. I think I could easily get bored, and that's like the kiss of death for me. I don't want to ever get bored. So I'm constantly learning something. It just depends on what. But yeah, I think it's vital for me. Keeps me engaged.
Yeah, I find that with most successful entrepreneurs, that sort of constantly looking for new things is really what has helped lead to some of those success. Do you have any other habits or things that routines that you do that you found have led to your success, or somebody outside believes that it's led to your success?
Well, I have several. One is that I have my own movement sort of routine, if you want to call it that, movement exercise routine. I work on my own body every day just because, as I mentioned, I have that situation that arose out of the barn accident. And so if I don't work on my back a little bit every day, it tells me about it. Like I actually start to ache a little bit and I get into some trouble. And so I have to drink my own Kool-Aid. You know, that's one of the things that I preach is you have to do your mobility and stability work every day, even after you finish the sort of program that I tend to generate both in person and online. So that's part of my routine. And I think that also helps keep me on track for my people because it keeps it real. You know, when I'm having to work on my body, it allows me to tell people how important it is to work on theirs. And they believe me because it's real. So that's part of it. I think another part of it is regular exercise. And you know, I don't really care what kind of exercise you do, but for me, moving my body clears my head and allows me to have space for others, other people, whether it's my family, which is my husband will actually look at me every once in a while and say, "Have you gone for a run the last couple of days? Maybe you need to go for a run." Like if I get a little cranky or something on a weekend, maybe it's time for you to go for a run. So he knows, you know, my daughter knows too, that sometimes mom needs space for a little exercise. But then the other piece is the recovery piece. And so I do a very short meditation every day because my attention span doesn't allow me to do it longer. It's like about 10 minutes of meditation, really to help my mind, to quiet my mind a little bit so I can be more focused on the day ahead. And then probably the last thing is I'm always trying to read something that adds to my brain, to my life, to my ability to serve. And so, whether it's a personal development book or whether it's a practitioner related book, I usually have something on my bedside table that's kind of work related that makes my daughter twist her face up and say, "Why are you reading that?" You know, because it looks so boring, but I find it interesting and it helps me do what I do. So, those would be sort of my little four quadrants.
Great. So moving into 2024, you are our first interview of January, talking about New Year's resolutions. Do you have any goals or aspirations for yourself or reconnect? And how do they align with your vision of success?
Well, yes, I really want to get my online course rolling in 2024. I started that online course really on the heels of COVID. So what happened to me and what happened to, I think, so many others that were seeing folks in person, of course, is that during COVID quarantine, those of us who had brick and mortar places like me had to close down. And I had this limiting belief. I now recognize it as being a limiting belief. I thought it was the truth at the time, of course, but I had this limiting belief that I couldn't be helpful to others unless I could put my hands on them. Not because I do any sort of manipulation or soft tissue work. I can't do that. That's beyond my scope of practice. But a lot of what I do is helping to position people's bodies and help them understand exactly where they need to be in space so they can access the right muscles. And I didn't think I could do that without having them with me. So, you know, again, my husband, the business coach, I mean, he's really good at what he does. He just kept asking me questions until he wore me down. And I finally said, okay, I'll try it on Zoom. I don't know if it'll work. Like, you know, and because he just kept punching holes in that limiting belief until I was compelled to call a few clients and say, would you be willing to try this with me? And I called some of my oldest clients, not old chronologically, but like people who had been with me a long time that trusted me and said, would you be willing to try this with me? And it worked. And I remember being completely stunned that I could cue people to do the movements that I needed them to make or to get their body into certain positions and tell them what I wanted them to feel. And they could actually feel it without me having to move them around. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I also have a piece of equipment that I use in my office that really facilitates that kind of learning, that facilitates people understanding where their muscles are. And I wasn't convinced that I could operate without that piece of equipment. And I found out I could. And not only could I operate without it, I was actually really effective without it. I was shocked, Phil. And so that led to, you know, business coach husband poking me and saying, what if you put it in a course? Could you put it in a course? Could you sell it in a course? And then my entrepreneurial brain exploded, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, I could help so many more people if I can be effective in this way, in the digital space. And so I put together a course, and I won't take you through the doldrums because I did put together a course, tried to sell it. Nobody bought it. I assumed the course was bad. Nobody ever saw it, by the way. So this is another some sort of thing my brain kicked up. I tore the whole thing down and then rebuilt the thing from scratch. And the one that is up now is really good. And I'm really proud of it. I feel like it is exactly what I wanted to put out there. Chris, of course, helped me with a lot of it. And so now I've got this course and I'm starting to get the word out. I started doing YouTube videos and that sort of thing. And I guess in 2023, my goal was to get more comfortable in that online space, doing YouTube videos. Because at first, if you watch some of my early ones, I look pretty wooden in front of the camera. And then I started to loosen up and get more comfortable with the eyeball in my face. Like now it doesn't even faze me anymore. I look at this camera every week. So I'm like, oh, hi, camera. And I got much more comfortable and it went really well. And so now it's a matter of just getting the word out about that online course. So I guess in 2024, what I really want to do is reach more people and help more people resolve back pain through gentle movement and exercise. It's literally a way to scale myself in a way I never really thought was possible originally. So it's literally blowing up that old limiting belief from 2020 and saying, yeah, I don't need that anymore. I can help more people in this bigger way, which is super exciting to me. So that's sort of the next phase in my entrepreneurial journey is understanding the digital space, like being a better digital entrepreneur. Cause I love the in-person stuff. Marketing my in-person business feels so easy compared to this. This is like a whole new horizon, but it's exciting.
Which is the stuff that pushes you, right? And then
exactly.
You master that, it'll be on to the next thing, right?
So. Yes. Whatever that is, holograms.
Oh yeah. Virtual reality, whatever that looks
right.
like.
Right. Yeah. That could be interesting.
So how do people follow you? How do they stay in touch with what you have going on with Reconnect? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, Instagram, my Instagram handle, and I'm still working on my social media prowess. So bear with me, folks, but my Instagram handle is @reconnect. That's R-E-K-I-N-E-C-T. There's no hyphen in it. And then RVA. So Reconnect RVA is my Instagram handle. And then I, of course, would love it if you followed me on YouTube, which is just @reconnect. And that one is R-E-K-I-N-E-C-T. That's my YouTube channel. And then I do offer these free online live workshops several times a year. So if people are interested in looking me up about back pain relief, if you go to my primary website, on my homepage, reconnect.com. So that's R-E-K-I-N-E-C-T.com. If you're on there for just a few seconds, a little pop-up will show up and ask you if you'd like to register for that free live online workshop. And I would love to see your folks there if they need to have a little help with getting their back to normal. So That's how you can reach me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. And thank you for joining us on this enlightening version of the Successes podcast with Amanda Harris. Look forward to seeing you guys next time. Have a good one.
Thanks, Phil.